This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. Say you're in the mood for some hearty soup for dinner tonight. You hop onto Google or whatever search engine and type in potato soup recipe. Next, you're faced with a whopping 350+ million search results. Now, of course, not all of those are actual recipes, but even if a million of them are, or 100,000, or just 1,000, that's too many for you to wade through. Chances are you look at the first page of results. Google usually highlights about 15. Pick something based on a high user rating or if there's bacon in the picture. The soup could turn out pretty good or it could end up being kind of meh. And you'll wonder why didn't pick one of those other millions of results. Today on Food Friday, a food writer and recipe tester is letting us in on her secrets to finding the best recipes online and why it's so hard to do that sometimes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your tricks for finding great recipes online? Do you have a go-to food website or blog that you start with to look for recipes? What is the best? What's the worst recipe you've ever found online? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Peggy Paul Casella is a professional recipe tester and cookbook author and editor based in Philadelphia. She's the creator of the recipe website, ThursdayNightPizza.com. Peggy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, sometimes we assume when that search engine puts some results on the top, well, they're going to be the best results, right? But you know, and I think we all know that isn't always the case with recipes. Why does that happen?
Mostly because of SEO and because of the way bloggers like me have to make a living. So we kind of all have to go by this very specific rubric that is dictated mostly by Google. And Google means well. The whole point is for Google to sort out which recipes are the best and which blog posts create content that actually will help the person who's looking for that content. But the problem is that within that SEO world, it becomes very formulaic and bloggers end up playing this endless game of like, you know, who can take the most beautiful photo? Now, they can take a great photo, but can they really cook? Is that recipe really going to work? So you'll find in the top 5 to 10 search results, a lot of times the photos look the same. Sometimes the people look the same. The format of the blog posts are exactly the same a lot of the time. And that's why.
So SEO, search engine optimization. So and you wrote about this in Wired. Sometimes it's a game of chase where Google wants it to look this way. Okay, so if I want to do a blog, I better make it look this way. And there's just this convergence that it all ends up looking kind of the same.
Yeah, yeah. And so on the one hand, Google's done a great service by incentivizing bloggers and food content people to think a lot about the type of content they're putting out there and to, you know, work around this algorithm that we all depend on to get the ad revenue that we're all hoping for every month. So on the one hand, I'm not totally anti-Google here. I think it does challenge people to create that content, to take those process photos for a new recipe they're making and really take a shot of the food that really shows the food, you know, and be mindful about the tips and tricks you're putting in your post. But I do think a lot of content creators take all the shortcuts they can take just to pad those posts with keywords and things that they know Google wants without actually making the recipe, without actually testing the recipe.
Okay, so we have found that recipe online, or we're looking for a recipe for a particular dish. What do we do to glance at that recipe and say, okay, this looks like the real deal. This looks like kind of a half-baked attempt to get that search engine optimization. How do we evaluate a recipe to see, yeah, this one's the real deal?
Okay, so I would say usually when I'm looking for a recipe, one of the first things I do is I hit that little button at the top of the recipe that, or atop of the blog post that says skip to recipe. I skip to the recipe and then I look at it. Does it have ratings? If so, I skim the comments a bit to see, okay, how mindful are these comments? Are these all people the person knows that have been like, you know, mindlessly just giving them a 5-star rating? Or are there comments from loyal cooks who come back to that recipe and take the time to write a paragraph about how it worked? And if that's the case, then you know it works. So that's one way that you can absolutely tell. Another way is if you look at the photographs that the blogger or food content creator has put up, are there process shots? Because if there's process shots, at least you have a better chance of believing that that person actually made the recipe. Another way is in the recipe itself, are the steps specific? You know, one example I always bring up when I'm talking to other people in this world are, you know, onions drive me crazy. So if you're reading an article, or I'm sorry, if you're reading a recipe mm-hmm. and you see someone has said 1 cup of onions, you're like, wait a minute.
That's one whole onion. Sure.
Right. Do you cram a whole onion in a cup measure? No. No one's ever going to think that. I know. But on the other hand, it just shows that the cook, the content creator, was not very mindful to give the reader, all right, well, okay, it's just chopped. Is it minced? Mm-hmm. Is it shredded? Is it sliced? You know, those are very different measurements. So that's the kind of thing I look for. Like, how mindful is the recipe? And also, do they have loyal test cooks who are writing comments about how it turned out, or maybe how they tweaked it a little bit. I think those are my main tips, at least.
Talking to Peggy Paul Casella, professional recipe tester, cookbook author. She's the creator of the recipe website, ThursdayNightPizza.com. On this edition of Food Friday, she is helping us find good recipes on the internet and figure out how to know what could be a good recipe. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you found recipe websites that you go back to again and again because they work, they're reliable? Have you had food disasters based on cooking something off the internet? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So, Peggy, the recipe I've used the most that I found online is a zucchini relish recipe. Zucchini disposal is a big issue here. It's from like 2011. The website looks like it could have been made in the 1990s. I try to search for that recipe by name. It does not come up on search engines. I have to keep the link so I can keep finding the recipe if I want to share it with other people. Like, I don't know. Sometimes those older ones were a labor of love. They weren't worried about bringing in the audience. Do you have thoughts on finding those out of the way, off the beaten path recipes?
I sure do. One of the things, there are a few recipes, right? When you're looking for a zucchini bread recipe, for instance, if you're me, right? And you grew up eating mom's zucchini bread and you don't want a newfangled version. You want the kind that you had when you were 12. For those types of recipes, I actually do. I try not to go with one of the latest blogs or recipe websites out there. I go searching. I call it spelunking through the internet. I will search it 3 different ways. I'll try and remember, like, what was one ingredient that was in there that might not be in these newer versions? Like, you know, I want a zucchini bread that uses vegetable oil. You know, mm-hmm. Clutch your pearls, right? I want a zucchini recipe that uses cinnamon and vegetable oil. Now that search result will come up with, yes, the typical results at the top. And some of those may be awesome. But if you're looking for more, an older school, less frills, go like 5 pages into the search results and then look there. And then keep looking, or maybe even search something crazy like zucchini bread recipe, like the Fanny Farmer cookbook, you know, something like that might draw up a more interesting result.
We're going to get a link, by the way, to that very specific zucchini relish recipe at WPR.org/Central Time if people want to make it at home, if you've got those big zucchini left over. Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. Carolyn is with us in Oconomowoc. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. So my experience, I think I was following a recipe from maybe BuzzFeed. It was for, I want to say, like, ultimate chocolate chip cookies, and they recommended using browned butter instead of regular butter. And in the recipe, it said, oh, as you brown your butter, it's going to reduce in volume. So if you're not at quite 2 cups or whatever, once you brown the butter, just add a little bit of extra water into the measuring cup. If you add cold water to hot brown butter, it will explode. And is real hard to clean up all that butter.
You're okay,
recipe.
I hope, Carolyn, right? You're fine?
I'm okay. I'm fine, but that measuring cup has never looked the same.
Wow. Carolyn, thanks for that call. Yeah, that are there red flags for you, Peggy, where this is clearly something untested because it just defies the laws of physics?
Totally. All the time. There are things, I can't think of an example right now, of course. I can't think of a good one, but mostly I find it a lot in measurements, like I said, with the onions. I also find it a lot with times. Like, there have been a few times that I've had to laugh out loud where I've seen, you know, someone writing a recipe for caramelizing onions, but they only are using half an onion and they're using a giant Dutch oven. And if you just do some simple critical thinking, you think, all right, well, if that surface area is only for this little bit of onion and you're saying to cook it for an hour, well, those onions are not going to be good, honey.
Carbonized, not caramelized, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and that's just one example that I think I'm mushing together a few different things I've seen, but yeah, it's just that kind of thing. And then a lot of times you'll find a recipe that clearly is not using enough liquid or sometimes too much liquid based on the type of pan they're asking for. I've seen a recipe for a gravy that was making enough gravy for like a Thanksgiving turkey for, you know, 20 people. And it said, make the gravy, take out your smallest saucepan. And I'm like, I mean, I don't think that's going to work.
A dot of gravy on each serving. We're talking to Peggy Paul Casella, professional recipe tester, cookbook author and editor, creator of the recipe website, ThursdayNightPizza.com. She's with us on Food Friday to let us in on the secrets of how to sift through thousands, millions of search results and find good, usable recipes online. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to fantastic recipe that you found online? You can tell us about it. Maybe it was in an unexpected place on the internet. How about a recipe that looked great in the photos but turned out to be a dud or exploded even? Tell us about it. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're picking up our talk with food writer and recipe tester Peggy Paul Casella about how to find good recipes on the internet and how to figure out which ones are good and which ones are eh. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a go-to recipe source online for you? What do you do when you're searching for, you know, I want to make blank or I have this ingredient? Do you have a method that gives you pretty good results? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234 with your questions or stories. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. James on Facebook says Chef John's Food Wishes channel on YouTube is a great source for new recipes to try. I love his plussed up take on franken beans. Okay. YouTube videos, Peggy, how useful do you find those when it comes to recipes? I tend not to like them unless it's a very specific technique. I just want to read the thing. Do you see a role for videos?
I sure do. I think, one, as a content creator myself, who is chained to the Google algorithm, I got into doing video because that was what was preferred. And it was a recommendation brought to me a million times by a million different sources for growth. So I started doing video, and I found at first I was hesitant. Then as I did it myself, I started looking on YouTube at what is out there more. And I gotta say, I mean, there are some videos where I think, man, you know, that didn't have to be a video. You could have just written that down. Because I think, you know, I'm not one that just likes to put my face on a screen just to put my face on a screen. But other videos, I, as a recipe tester, there are a lot of times where I will be working. This just happened. I was editing an Italian cookbook, and the author was trying to explain how to fillet anchovies, fresh anchovies. And I have never filleted a fresh anchovy myself. And so I was reading the description. I was confused by it in the book. And I thought, all right, I know what to do. I'm going to go to YouTube. I'm going to find someone who's filleting an anchovy. And then I'm going to help this author rewrite the description in a way that's more visual. And it, like, those things I go to a lot. I found this adorable old, like, you know, she was probably like an 80-year-old Italian grandmother filleting an anchovy. And it just, she did it so well on this video. And I just thought, yeah, I mean, that's why YouTube is there for cooking. Yeah, I think I'm the same. I love a written recipe, but I've really come around to the video recipe.
You mentioned cutting up an anchovy. I've used YouTube for, you know, cutting up the best way to cut up a pineapple or whatever. That specific kind of technique thing, I totally get that. Now, I'm thinking with your pizza website, an example comes to mind here. Just the challenge of, okay, I know how to do this. How do I convey it to others? Years ago, a friend of mine, an amazing cook, was talking me through making my own pizza dough. And he, you know, was like, knead it until it feels right. Was his instruction to me. It did not come out well. How do you take that sort of like thing that you just know, right? And then figure out a way to tell me, Rob, how to do it so I know what feels right means?
You know, I just try and be as honest as possible. I used to teach more pizza classes here in Philadelphia. And when I did that, I would get the best questions as I'm making the dough. And that really helped me understand what I understand may not be what someone else understands. So now when I'm doing a video, I try and do, you know, I try and make it really clear what step is what. And I try and like kind of slow down and show each thing at the different steps because, you know, I've made mistakes in the past where I've put up a recipe and not described it as well. And then I get a flourish of comments saying, this recipe doesn't work. It's, you know, it's too this or it's too that. And then I go back and read those comments. And at first, you know, I'm a little salty about it, but then I read them again. And then I realize, oh shoot, I should have explained that you knead it until you press on it and it comes back a little bit, or until, or you knead it with your hands like a cat kneading a sweater, you know? So yeah, it's tough. It is tough, but I try and listen to the comments when they come in and I try and workshop it. And I'll sometimes run a description by my sister or my husband or even my 6-year-old son, you know, like, would you understand this?
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Gary is with us in Brookfield. Gary, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. The one thought I had is you keep talking about using Google as a search engine. And 1A had a really good program on that a couple of weeks ago where they talked about how Google has changed over the last 15, 20 years. And, you know, perhaps using a different search engine such as DuckDuckGo would be beneficial.
Oh, Gary, interesting point. Peggy, have you tried comparing and contrasting different search engines when searching for recipes online?
That is a great point. You know, Google is usually my standard go-to because they're the gold standard of how I make my living. You know, like I get ad revenue and a lot of that is based on the Google algorithm and, you know, how many people are clicking on ads through Google on my site. So that's why I favor that. But Yes, I have looked on Bing before to compare, especially when I was writing this article for Wired. The search results are different. It's, in my experience, it wasn't as different as I expected it to be, but it is different. And that is another way to kind of expose other recipe websites that maybe you wouldn't find otherwise.
All right. Thanks for that call, Gary. I just tried on DuckDuckGo looking for that zucchini relish. Again, not seeing the result, except I'm seeing WPR.org from the last time we linked it, actually. Okay. Peggy, you were starting to touch on this earlier. For that focused search, you gave an example in the Wired article about, I think it was Spanakopita, like trying to find the recipe that's going to meet your needs best.
Yeah, it's kind of how we have to do anything now, right? I mean, the world we're in, information is out there and that's great, but there's so much information that you really have to learn how to sort for it. I mean, I draw a parallel between sitting down on a Friday night trying to watch something on TV through the many different streaming services we have now. How do you pick a show to watch? It's kind of similar, you know? So yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a mac and cheese recipe, this is a great example, actually. Mac and cheese is a fantastic idea. So if you are looking for mac and cheese, right? We all know it's not that simple. Do you want a creamy stovetop mac and cheese? Or are you more of a baked mac and cheese person that likes it a little more dry? I think if you can describe what you want from the result in your search engine, then you're way more likely to end up with something that you're really looking for.
We'll leave it there. Peggy, thanks again for joining us today. Been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Peggy Paul Casella, professional recipe tester, cookbook author and editor, creator of the recipe website, ThursdayNightPizza.com. She joined us on Food Friday for a look at finding good recipes online. You could keep sharing your favorite sources for great online recipes or successes or failures, explosive or otherwise, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. This is Central Time.